This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne on another fabulous Willamette Valley Day. Thank you for joining us at your one place to go for local talk on local issues, local ideas, local initiatives, local individuals, things that are happening in our Mid-Valley that affect Salem and Kaiser and Marion and Polk counties, things that affect your wallets, things that affect your quality of life, things that affect your perspective about your state, honestly. So happy to have you with us, I got to say, and I hope Dave feels the same way. It was a delight to have Representative Mike Nierman on yesterday.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Great guy.
Very honest.
I don't know in a short hour we get an opportunity to show his personality much.
Oh, I think we did.
Good. Yeah. So of all the elected leaders I've met in the Valley, I had never met the man.
Really?
Never met him before yesterday, and it was nice to have somebody who's representing rural parts of Oregon and almost predominantly in his district. Also amusing to hear about how his district is drawn.
Yeah, right.
He's like basically skirts around and doesn't include any of the cities. He's like, I have West Salem addresses, but no real part of West Salem.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
You know, this city's addresses, but not really any part of that city.
And Jefferson, yeah.
And anyway, thank you to Representative Mike Nierman. Appreciated hearing his take on things because, face it, all of these representatives, all these local leaders, they have different perspectives, they have different life experiences, and they have different priorities.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's why we have a citizen legislature, folks. And if they were all interested in economic development, it would be kind of a one-note legislature. If they were all interested in human services, same thing. So
he's also a goalie 2 to 3 times a week.
The hockey guy. He's a hockey
in shape.
Dude.
He's in shape.
Wow.
A goalie.
Yeah,
that's tough.
That takes it. He's a software engineer.
Yeah, right.
Bring it on. Anyway, we've been pretty successful at Newsmakers and getting our regional legislators in with Senator Winters, of course, and Senator Thatcher.
Uh-huh.
We've had in. We need to reach out to Representative Bowles, who just got elected for the first time. Twice she's been a legislator, appointed to a seat.
Oh, wow.
2 times she filled a vacancy. And the first time she didn't pursue election. This time she did, and she got elected this year. So I don't know if we've congratulated her, but we'd have to reach out to Representative Bowles' office. And Brian Boquist, he's been in the news, especially last fall, and sparring a little bit with the speaker.
Yes.
So getting himself a little attention, shall we say.
Be interesting to hear the story.
And he has a fascinating history as well. It's probably been 20 years since I heard him speak. So look forward to getting him. And Paul Evans is actually my state representative. He's in my district. I'm in his district.
that could change
there,
Brent.
We were talking about his bill having to do with bridge funding. All right. I want to talk about Secretary of State Dennis Richardson. We spoke of him yesterday and just our condolences to his family.
Absolutely.
And to express what a great loss we feel it is for the state of Oregon.
Yeah.
I mean, you look and everybody wants to say nice things about you when you die, right? Hopefully. We can hope. But people across the aisle, from the governor to the speaker to everyone, says, you know, he was tireless. He was passionate. He worked. I mean, his pace was incredible.
He just wanted to do the right thing.
Yeah. He served. He just served like a man.
19 years in public service.
And then he made history by becoming the first Republican in a generation plus to be elected to statewide office.
Yeah.
It's historical. That's incredible. And it's because he is a combination. He was a combination of a man who had a foundation of belief, and he did what he said he was going to do and believed in serving and doing it the right way. And he was, he was a fiscal hawk. I just love the fact that his department was always auditing somebody. If they
right.
Were, well, and probably more than one at a time.
Well, that's what his job was, right?
I know, and we get these.
He was actually doing the job.
He was doing the job.
Yeah.
And he was doing it for the taxpayer.
Yeah, he wasn't doing it for himself, that's for sure.
That's incredible. Doing it for, and finding government waste, not just in a finger-pointing way either. Not just, you know, lander nanner, you people. It was more like, hey, there's opportunities in how the government purchases.
And that was, you know, how that's a big one.
The opportunities in this department for, you know, solving redundancies and solving inefficiencies and that. And thank you. A thank you to Dennis Richardson and a thank you to his family for having shared him with us.
Yeah.
And shared him with the state. All right. Now, given that, as the state, we're missing a Secretary of State.
Right.
So we're not going to talk about replacing Dennis Richardson.
Can't be done.
Let's talk about there's a vacancy in a state role.
Right.
And what has to happen. So, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on the viewer's perspective, the governor gets to decide who gets to fulfill the rest of his term.
Doesn't she have to pick a Republican, though?
She does.
Okay.
She does. She has to pick a Republican.
I was a little worried for a second.
To the Oregon Constitution. So there's that. She is saying she wants to pick somebody. She's going to appoint somebody who will commit that they will not run for the seat in 2020.
Ooh.
How do you do that?
What? What kind of stipulation is that?
Well, you know why she's doing it, because it's politics.
Well, sure, but still, right? Come on.
And how do you hold somebody to that? And I don't know.
You can't.
That preconceived, I just, she's going to do it. She's going to get away with it.
Is that like a prenup?
Yeah. It's like a prenup. Yeah. So must commit to not run. Must commit. I mean, I don't know how that goes into writing or whatever. Okay, so the concerns are you're going to get a Republican who has never held office before, a Republican who routinely supports and writes checks to Democratic candidates, so somebody who recently changed their voter registration so that they would be eligible.
Yeah.
Somebody who is not likely to run in 2020. So, is it somebody who is registered a Republican, but is really a Democratic donor, a Democratic...
We've seen that around the country, too, by the way.
In terms of some people not
recent elections, they changed their affiliation to Republican, got elected, and then changed it back to Democrat.
Well, we know that there's going to be... She's going to play the politics. She doesn't want to. She doesn't want to create a situation where a Republican has viability to win that seat again in 2020. Because what's 2020? Oh, is that the President Trump reelection year? And the Democrats going to come out in droves to beat and what are the chances of a Republican winning statewide office again? She wants to make sure that a Republican doesn't do a great job for 2 years and get reelected to that position.
Yeah,
right.
That's true. And this
that's her political job. It's not necessarily.
Right.
What a governor should do.
Yeah. This is what makes me sick of politics. Mm-hmm. It's when they do things like that. Okay. They're not serving the people. They're doing politics.
Good for the party, not necessarily good for the people.
Whenever they do things like that for the party, not good for you.
Yeah. Too bad that doesn't have a process like we do for county commissioner, where the Republicans get to pick the Republican replacement. Totally different process.
Well, that would be good.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break here. We got a phone call coming in. This subject came up yesterday with Representative Nierman with the Stream Savers.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more to know than we touched on. So we reached out and actually.
Well, you had a lot of questions. So.
They reached out and we're going to get clarity on what they do and what the bill's going to do and what they propose to do in Oregon streams. All right. Are you environmentalist? You're not environmentalist. We'll find out in a minute on 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I like it, Dave.
Yeah, you know, a little theme music today.
Gotta tuck. Go with the river theme.
Yeah, right.
All right, so welcome back, folks, to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and we have on the phone with us today David Darnell. He's the director for Stream Savers. David, you with us?
I am.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you you guys reaching out and being willing to come on and explain to the listener what you guys are all about. Where do you start?
Well, thanks for having me on, number one. I appreciate that.
You bet.
A little bit about Stream Savers. I'll tell you how Stream Savers came about. And I'm not actually the director. I am probably my role is best described as the mule. when we go and clean a stream, I'm the guy that carries the stuff.
Okay.
my wife is the brains behind the operation.
Well, but, we know she's smart because she's got you carrying everything.
Proof positive right there. As a matter of fact, so my wife, Karen, one of my sons, Marshall, some years ago, I'm not sure if they had a gift certificate or something, but they went gold mining with a guy that does gold mining in the Umpqua River. And so they spent the day down there, and, you know, they got a little bit of gold. They got to hang out in the river in the hot sunshine and really enjoyed it. So we decided we'd pick up a gold dredge and go do some ourselves. And I think probably the first thing I would probably want to explain to you and your listening audience is what this thing is. I know that people in the environmental movement, particularly in what I call the Enviro Left, probably paint this picture of this big fire-breathing, steam-powered machine that's dropped into a pristine alpine river by two large Sikorsky helicopters and does a fern gully on a stream. And that's really not what these little gold dredges are. Basically, what they are is they're a vacuum cleaner.
Okay.
And the one that we have has a 2-inch hose on it, about the same size as the shop vac you get at the home store.
Okay.
And really, other than just the pontoons that float the pump, it's about the size of a shop vac as well. And so we bought one of these, and the first thing we noticed, there's two things you notice when you go out and you do this. The first thing you notice is that your hopper, which all of the heavy stuff collects in, that you vacuum up off the floor of a stream or a lake, it fills up with junk. We're talking lead, lures, line, glass, bottle caps, car parts.
How big a piece can it do? Well, I guess it's just 2 inches in diameter, so yeah, about that size. Yeah. You're not going to get a soda can, but you would definitely get a pop, a lid, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Okay,
you know,
so you got this as a hobby.
While you're
down
there, you know, moving rocks around so you can kind of get into the crevices and stuff, you notice that, you know, the bottoms of the streams are really full of junk. So, you know, so we go out there and we do a little of this, you know, dredging, hope to find some gold. And we end up with this big pile of lead and, you know, there's some mercury in there and all this other junk. And then the second thing you notice when you go out and use one of these, you know, vacuums on the bottom of a stream is that the fish, all of the fish, come and hang out by your hopper because you're feeding them.
Because you're stirring up the bottom, right?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so basically what you do is you vacuum up, you know, the small material that's at the bottom of all streams and rivers and lakes, and you just kind of put it through a filter, and you take out all the heavy stuff, and everything else just drops back down a foot or two from where you picked it up at.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's the entire process right there. So we saw that, and, you know, a few years go by, and there was a ban that was passed, SB3, I believe it was, on gold dredging. And so people couldn't take their, you know, dredges out and do that anymore. And we thought, well, you know, heck, you know, since we can't do that, can we go out and clean up the bottom of streams? And that's how Stream Savers came about.
Is that a project of passion, or is that potentially a money-making opportunity?
Well, you know, I'm a capitalist, so I'd hope it would become a money-making opportunity.
All right, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, I think for my wife, Karen, she just likes playing the river.
Well, of course she does. So, she doesn't have to carry anything.
Yeah.
She's got you.
Yeah.
All right, so you formed this group, Stream Savers, and you're advocating for a change in the law to allow you to do this activity.
No, we're not. We don't need actually a change in the law to allow us to do this activity. The bill that we were floating was aimed at directing some money, into actually cleaning up the bottoms of rivers and lakes. Currently, we know of no one who goes into the bottom of a river and lake and cleans it out. In large channels like the Columbia River, it's dredged out with a huge dredge. And I assume most of the stuff that accumulates in that river is captured and not returned back into the river. But all the other streams that are fished heavily, that have a lot of recreation in them, there's nobody cleaning up the bottom of rivers. And we thought, well, heck, you know, if we can get a little bit of money that way, maybe we can get some of that and go out and clean up the bottom of rivers.
And what would be the source of the funds?
The bill that we were floating directs 50% of DEQ fines that are levied for clean water violations to be used for in-stream cleanup.
It's not a bad idea. I like it.
How did DEQ feel about that?
It's hard to believe that anybody would find it a bad idea to direct some of that fine money, which I believe just goes into the black hole of the general fund.
Yeah, pretty much.
To be used to actually clean up the bottom of streams. Because, as far as I know, no one is doing it.
Dave, this is Dave Bourne. Hey, a couple of questions that we were floating around yesterday that Brett and I were discussing with the representative was there's a lot of there's concern whether or not it would affect the fish and their spawning grounds and things like that. And what kind of stipulations do you have to deal with that?
Well, people have used dredges or, vacuums on the bottom of rivers to pick up precious metals like gold, have long been limited to an in-water work period that runs generally from July 1st to August 15th, or in some streams as late as, say, September 1st. And that's the same in-water work period that the Forest Service, BLM, or anybody else who does in-stream work. The Forest Service does a lot of what they call stream restoration, where they'll put stuff back into a stream. So everyone that works in a stream is subject to that same in-water work period. And that in-water work period is the period of time in which there are no reds or no eggs being laid by fish, and there's no small fry or anything like that in the river.
So you have to work in the stream when the water's the lowest? Is that right? July and August?
For the most part in Oregon, it would be when the water's the lowest.
How do you float things out in the river and do that with that pipe?
Sometimes that's a little difficult to find. The float that we use to, put our vacuum on is, you can carry it. It's maybe 3 foot wide, maybe 4 foot long. It's basically just two pontoons in which you put the pump motor and the hopper, which catches all the heavy stuff. Sometimes it's a little difficult to find water to float that in. But if you have to, you can move a few rocks that are sticking up out of the water and just anchor it in one spot where it does float.
We're talking to David Darnell of Stream Savers, and this is an initiative to help get funds to allow people to clean up streams and lakes and the bottoms using a suction device and so forth. And David, are there other people like you? How broad is this potentially? Are there people out there that either have the equipment or would go out and use this equipment if there were funds available to help people clean? Is there a network of people supporting you?
Well, there again, I don't know anybody that's actually doing it in Oregon other than us. I have heard of the, I believe it was called the Sierra Fund, which I think is part of the Sierra Club, was doing a similar program in California, although I think their ulterior was to actually get gold. But, Stream Savers is, more than happy to do, stream cleanup in non-bearing gold rivers.
So this would be something you could do on the Santa Yam?
Oh, yeah, you could do it on the Willamette. I mean, if you think about it, just going down to the Willamette right there in Salem, there's a lot of people recreate down there. You can imagine the kind of stuff that accumulates down there.
Oh, yeah, the things you step on.
And it's not being cleaned up.
Wow. And how small a waterway? I mean, would this be something that could happen in urban on the banks of a creek, like a mill creek? I'm thinking of here,
sure,
regionally of the waterways that, sure, we might be able to clean up.
Oh, absolutely. You could do it on, anywhere where you can float a small, pontoon to put your pump on. You can literally, clean up, a stream that's only a few feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably a lot of those small streams and smaller rivers, I guess, creeks and rivers, are they're heavily recreated, they're heavily fished, and they'd be great candidates for cleaning. If you think about, I was having this conversation with a friend, if you think about just fishing, how long have people been fishing most of these rivers, the Mullalo, the Willamette, 150 years?
Yeah.
So you've got, 150 years of lead and line and lures and hooks, and I'm sure, being left in any of all of the rivers, and no one's ever cleaned them up.
Wow. Yeah, and a great portion of the Willamette, adjacent to Wallace Marine, Minto Brown Park, that was a dump site, for goodness sakes.
Oh.
So that's the one question. Yeah. Your detractors, and we want to talk about the politics of it a little bit after the break, but your detractors are going to look at, hey, you're going to stir up sediment that's better left alone. You better stir up poisons and chemicals that have settled, is covered, and what's that effect of the fish? So I'm gonna tease you with that one and give you a few minutes to think about as we take a quick break. We're talking to David Darnell of Stream Savers about cleaning up rivers and streams here on Newsmakers 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Some songs you just know what they are by the first guitar riff, you know what I mean?
We should take a poll of favorite songs with the word river in their title. River of Dreams.
Or Water.
River of Dreams. Billy Joel would be mine. Yeah. All right. Hey, welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. And on the phone with us is David Darnell of Stream Savers. One of the things, thanks for being with us, David, by the way.
Love the bumper music too, by the way.
Yeah, right?
One of the things that worries me about initiatives like yours and activities like yours is the tendency to want to politicize it. And not just politicize it, but make it partisan. The whole fallacy that if you're on the right, you're not an environmentalist, drives me crazy. We're all environmentalists. Everybody wants a clean stream. I think I ran into this yesterday. Everybody loves trees. We have differences
clean
of opinion
air.
About how they're managed.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I like how you put that. On the first segment, you mentioned the enviro left. And sometimes conversation and things get hijacked. Like, well, we have to be against this because we're left, because we're Democrats, because we're environmentalists and you're not, is preposterous. And it kind of is counterproductive. So, now, what I want to talk about, because there's going to be people against you, so let's talk about the other side. Let's talk about who doesn't want to see you doing what you're doing and why. Is there any validity to their argument? And, what I was thinking before the break was, are you stirring up sediment that is creating poisons or chemicals that have settled to the bottom and are not a hazard to the fish, and then providing turbidity in the water and reintroducing those to what lives in the stream?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. The word turbidity was the buzzword used to infer that vacuuming up the bottom of a stream looking for little pieces of gold was somehow harmful to fish. So if you go out to Minto on a July through August day, the water runs fairly clean. And if you walk around, you know, the laminate's got quite a bit of silt on the bottom. So if you walk around in the shallow end up there, you're causing what is termed turbidity. You know, you've seen it. You stir it up with your feet, and the water clouds a little bit, and then as the current of the stream washes it down, it just settles back down into the bottom of the stream.
Of course. Yeah.
So the question is, number one, is turbidity harmful to fish? And then number two, how much turbidity comes out of a two-inch hose on one of these stream vacuums?
Well, I'm looking at the wall. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I am laughing and agreeing with you because I drove by the Willamette today, and I thought with all the recent rains and the snow.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of mud in there.
It's
not
brown.
Like you can see to the bottom. Anyway, go on. Go on.
So I am sitting, I'm actually in Canyonville right now. I am not far from the Umpqua River, and there's been quite a bit of rain down in southern Oregon recently, and they got quite a bit of snow. That thing is running mud. It is brown. It is a level of turbidity that is a level of turbidity more than 10 kids splashing around or one two-inch stream vacuum by a factor of a gazillion. So by the argument that turbidity somehow is harmful to fish, every single fish in both the Rogue and the Umpqua right now have to be absolutely dead.
They're swimming in dirt water.
Yes. So the amount of, you know, the amount of turbidity that comes out of, say, you know, out of 2-inch little hose there, it's difficult to actually spot. If you're sitting on the bank, you're going to see the silt and stuff that that came up off of the bottom. It's been filtered through the hopper, and it just drifts back into the stream. And then depending on how fast the stream is, in 6 or 8 feet, it's gone.
If this becomes public policy that's promoted in Oregon, right, if this becomes public policy and is something that they want to pursue and they want to fund, would it lend itself to bigger operations, though, than what you're talking about?
Oh, most certainly. Most certainly. We've talked to groups that do dam removal on private property. They're usually small dams that are no longer being used. And they talk the private property into owner into just getting rid of them because, you know, there's no need for them anymore. And in that instance, they have a bunch of silt and, you know, probably in some instances, some things that are, you know, particularly harmful. And so in that respect, instead of filtering the stuff and running the silt back into the stream, you could use, you know, a 4-inch hose, a 6-inch hose, an 8-inch hose, depending on how large the project was. And you could run that actually off, out of the river through a filtration system and catch all of the harmful stuff that is built up behind a dam and then just return the water to the stream.
All right, we're talking to David Darnell of Stream Savers. Does Stream Savers have a website? Do you have any pictures? Do you have any videos of the kinds of things that you're pulling out that people could really visualize what's coming out of the rivers and streams?
We do. You can find us on the web, Stream Savers, just Google Stream Savers, or you can find us on Facebook. We have pictures and videos of just piles of stuff. A lot of the people that were searching for gold before it was outlawed literally take buckets, 5-gallon buckets of just lead from a day's worth of work.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean it's incredible how much stuff comes out of there.
Wow.
I mean, if that stuff were gold, these guys, you know, they'd be retired.
All right, folks, check out Stream Savers at Facebook or on the web. And I haven't seen it yet, so I'll look forward to seeing pictures. And I think a YouTube video of, hey, folks, look at my 5-gallon bucket.
Right.
This is in the stream. And boy.
Hey, David, your side business should be remaking the lures with the lead.
Yeah,
well,
lead.
I hope to become the world's largest collector of old super dupers.
Yeah, there you go.
You're a fisherman,
yeah.
You know what that is.
Well, we all know how things go in the legislature and in politics. Did you get any traction on the bill? Obviously Representative Nierman looked upon it favorably. Did you get any traction, and what are your stumbling blocks?
Yeah, we did. We got a hearing, and that is traction.
Mm-hmm,
and because, you know, if you look at the bill on its face, you go, well, you know, let's direct some of this fine money into cleaning up in streams. And you know, I probably should have said that there are some groups that walk along, you know, streams and rivers, Solve and people like that, you know, and clean up all the trash on the side of rivers. And so, you know, that's a good thing, but there's really nobody, you know, cleaning all the junk out of the bottom. So we got a hearing, you know, get back to the politics of it. The Enviro left got wind of it, and for a reason that I cannot fathom, they want to, you know, shut down this idea of actually directing this fine money to the cleanup of our streams and rivers. And so they, you know, they got a hold of their, you know, their PR department, which is most of the media, yourself excepted, of course, and did
appreciate that.
Thesis on us, tried to frame the bill, you know, as some sort of, you know, backdoor dredging bill. But, I mean, obviously, most of the waters in Oregon are not gold bearing. And we typically have more trash in them than probably the gold bearing ones. So we're perfectly happy to go clean up any stream anywhere in Oregon.
That's what we have to fight against, is people trying to frame an initiative with a label, with something that it's not, something that's partisan, and we must be against this, the big collective we, when it becomes partisan, when it should just be pragmatic. Drives me crazy. I congratulate you for even trying to tackle that, because I don't know that I could be able to maintain my composure when, you know, here's the thing. Name call too much on the show, but if I were left, we'll use your firm, your phrase. You know, the people that somewhat just unreasonable. They're unreasonable. Like, only we care about trees and every tree must be protected at all costs are the same people that are allowing our old growth forests to burn to the ground.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Right? I mean, like, instead of being responsibly managed. I mean,
yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
You won't let it be managed, so therefore you would rather it be taken by massive wildfires destroying the ecosystem,
right?
And of all of those animals and all those fish and all of those things get destroyed because they don't want you to manage a tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I fear about in your initiative, where people are like, hey, let's turn this into something. Let's make sure we fight something so it looks like we're protecting the fish or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's standard operating procedure for what I call the environmental left, is they want to stop you from doing something rather than them doing something that is beneficial. If you look at their activities, most of the groups that are active, well, particularly in Southern Oregon, because, you know, there's a lot of natural resource contention down here. But the ones that are active down here, they don't actually do anything. They don't go clean up the forest. They don't clean up rivers and streams. What they do is they hire lawyers and they sue the federal government under the Equal Access to Justice Act, and that's how they fund their operations. But I will say that I have, you know, searched around for some of these people, some of the, you know, the people that run these operations. And I look through their Facebook pages, and I have seen more than one of them with a photo of them and a big stringer of fish.
Right? They all got to eat. They all got to eat. Let's talk about let's talk about where we go from here after the break.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Can you stay with us a little bit longer, David?
Absolutely.
All right. Stick with us. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Yeah, we got your story right here.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. Thanks for being with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. We've got David Darnell on the phone from Stream Savers. Tomorrow, I want to let you know, tomorrow, for the first time, we're going to start regularly having representative from the Volcanoes. So the big news, you know, yeah. KYKN is going to be carrying the games this summer, so we're going to learn about what's changing up at Volcano Stadium and how the food is going to change, how the experience is going to change,
yeah,
the improvements
thing.
And all that. So stay tuned tomorrow, Friday. We hope to chat with the Volcanoes every Friday for just a few minutes and get you excited about the upcoming season because yeah. it really is a gem in our community. And, of course, we want to let you know that if there is somebody that should hear this message from David Darnell, Stream Savers, look for our podcast, Be The Recorded. It'll be on the KYKN website. And you can just send them the link, right? And they can hear, hey, you need to be educated on this, or did you hear David, and so forth. So, David, you can also link this to your Facebook page if you like. All right.
Great, I will.
So, let's go back to what Dave was talking about, and where do we go from here? How do you see the future playing out? And how do we get people to stop looking at what you're doing with partisan goggles?
Well, I think the fundamental way to stop looking at it with partisan goggles, and I think that's impossible in the legislature and to an increasing degree with just in society in general, but the fundamental way to do it is just to ask the question, are the bottom of the streams dirty? I can offer ample proof that they are. And should they be cleaned? You know, as far as I'm concerned, they should be cleaned. And I don't see a problem with directing some of the money that is in fines that are being levied against people that pollute the waters to cleaning them up. I mean, I'm not proposing a tax or anything like that. And I just want to take a little chunk and start nibbling it away at, you know, 100, 150 years of recreation and other activities in our streams and mm-hmm. start to do a little cleaning up. And before I forget, before we get off the phone, I want to do a little shout out to your sponsor, Capital, for sponsoring A-Fuel and top alcohol dragsters at the Woodburn or at the drags.
Nice.
I'm a drag racing
Capital
fan.
Capital Auto Group. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All
so,
right.
David, you mentioned earlier you got a hearing on this bill. Where's it going? Is it stalled? What's going on with that?
Well, what happened is there was a media story on it that, you know, as we discussed, it was framed as a some sort of backdoor dredging bill, which it really is not. And so once that story came out, I'm sure it caught the eyes of the people on the committee that were willing to give a hearing to the bill. And that's a big step, by the way. If you get a hearing on mm-hmm. a bill, it means they have an interest in the bill. Most bills never get a hearing. The vast majorities never do. And so when that story came out, the hearing was postponed, and it's never been rescheduled. So, you know, there's a good possibility that partisan politics is probably going to kill what is really a good bill for all Oregonians.
So how can people help you with that?
People can help us by calling those on the committee. And if you go to Stream Savers, we can make sure and put a link, Stream Savers on Facebook or on the web. We can make sure and put a link in there of people to contact on the committee and say, hey, let's stop the bickering here. Okay. Let's throw a few of these dollars into cleaning up the bottom of streams.
All right. So for absolute clarity, the mining's illegal, right? So this is not a mining activity.
No, it is not a mining okay. activity. A mining
dredging.
Activity is defined in Oregon law as a search for precious metals. And actually, mining is not illegal in Oregon. Oh. You can still use, as far as I know, you can still use a vacuum in rivers that are not considered essential salmon habitat, ESH.
But that's not what this is about.
No, this is not what this is about.
This is not dredging the Willamette River.
No.
No.
This is cleaning.
This is cleaning, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. This is not mining,
yeah,
people.
Stream,
this is not dredging.
It's cleaning, baby.
This is cleaning. So that follows the question is, why is this not a Democratic priority bill if they're the ones who are all about the environment and cleaning up the environment? And if they're all the environmentalists, why is this not being pushed by the Democratic caucus?
Right.
Bingo. That's the question right there.
As a matter of fact, Solve should be behind this. They should be helping you.
Where is Solve and where's the DEQ on this?
Yeah.
The DEQ, as I understand, wanted to have a hearing on this as well. I don't know their exact position, but my guess is if they wanted a hearing, they had something to say about it. I haven't spoke directly with the DEQ to find out exactly, you know, where they stand on this bill. But you hit the nail on the head. Why aren't Democrats, if they are traditionally all about the environment, 100% behind this? Well, my answer in part, and I don't know all the details, but my answer in part is they were behind this, which is why they scheduled a hearing. And then when the Enviro left found out about it, what, you know, their narrative is only we can do stream cleaning and these people, you know, cannot. We got the I think there's three newspaper articles. I think they're all regurge of the original one that I'm sure was fed to the reporter by someone on the Enviro left, and they reframed it, and you know, and that's politics, as we know, reality or perception is reality, and the truth is negotiable. And yeah. So that's how a lot of good, I think, well-intended bills die, unfortunately.
We're talking to David Darnell of Stream Savers, and you know, there's two incredible things wrong with this. One, the concept that we're not all environmentalists. We're all, I mean, how many people that skew right that are outdoorsmen?
Right.
And not to mention the farmers who are the stewards of the land or the protectors of the earth. You know, it's kind of skew politically, right? I mean, we're all environmentalists. There are no rape the earth kind of people, bad guys out there. The question is, where's the turf? So that's one thing. This has to do more with, hey, we want to be in control and we want to control the narrative. And I don't know these people, and it's not us, so we have to condemn this.
Mm-hmm.
That's really sinister. And then, of course, the partisan goggles in terms of,
oh, sure,
should this be a left or the right? Or should it just be, do we have the money? Is it appropriate use of the money? And is there a need? So David's telling us there's a need. He's got video proof to do it. Then the question is for the DEQ, and I'd call him up, honestly. It's not that big a state agency. It's for the DEQ. How do they feel about some of their monies being diverted and dedicated that, you know, they might otherwise have plans for in their budget? Right, David?
Right.
All right. Any last moments of talk? And oh, one more shout out. Sorry. Denise Nanke. I want to thank Denise, no stranger to the KYKN audience, for hooking us up. I know she's involved in this and helped us make some phone calls and get David Darnell on the line with us today.
Good stuff, David.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. We got like 30 seconds left. So any last thoughts?
Well, I think you brought up my last thought, and I think my last thought is the question is this: is there anyone in Oregon, whether they be in the legislature or whether they live in a city or live out in rural America or rural parts of Oregon, is there anyone who would be against cleaning out the lead, the broken glass,
absolutely,
the bottle cap?
Thanks for being with
out
us.
Of the bottom.
We got to go.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. This is Brent for Dave on KYKN 1430. Salem is listening.
This has been Len Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.